Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam Gilchrist. I hope you are well. I hope you're into what we call in South Africa the World Cup. Gees. Gees is a spirit and energy. You've been staying up late to watch, that's not really a late game. 9 o'clock isn't a late game. It's a late for maybe you and I who have to get up at, 4 o'clock in the morning to prepare for morning radio shows?
Yeah, and 7 o'clock here, so seven in the evening is perfectly decent. It's the early ones. I can't quite get my head around what, for us, is a 10 a.m. start for some games. I think Wales are playing at 10 a.m. for us, noon for you. So, that's too early for football. Don't be daft. What are you doing?
But let's start in Iran. The United Nations has agreed to investigate the ongoing Iranian protests, lots of repression, oppression, and also violent police and state action against protesters in that country.
Yeah, there's been quite a crackdown, hasn't there, Lester? Yeah, these protests that have spread to 150 towns and cities across Iran, 140 universities, all 31 of the countries have been affected. We know that at least 300 people have been killed in the security crackdown, 14,000 people arrested. It's a big deal, which is why the United Nations, the UN Human Rights Council, has said they want to set up a fact-finding mission. It wasn't actually a unanimous vote. To some extent, shame on those countries that voted against. Why would you not want to have a fact-finding mission on what has become such an explosive situation? But 25 countries voted in the end to have one, 6 voted against, 16 countries abstained. I don't get that. But anyway, if there will be one, the problem is, of course, is that UN investigators are almost certainly not going to be welcome to carry out their investigations in the country. So it may well all have to be done remotely. But the UN has done that with Syria and Myanmar. They didn't get their investigators into either of those countries. They've done it from afar. So I guess they will have to do that again in the case of Iran. But it's important that they do it. It's important that we find out what's going on and how the rest of the world could possibly help in whatever way.
Adam, 6 countries, thousands of victims. What's the latest in what's been called an international anti-fraud sting operation?
Yeah, it's an extraordinary thing. It's a joint police operation breaking up this global fraud operation. Basically, they took down a website called ispoof.cc, which was being used by criminals in the UK, the US, Australia, France, Ireland, and the Netherlands. And criminals in all those countries were, and in some cases crossing borders with their criminal activity, but they were essentially targeting bank customers. And I bet if it hasn't happened to you, you almost certainly know someone who has been told there's been illegal activity on your bank account. You need to move your money or change your accounts or something along those lines. Zeroing in on people, up to 20 victims a minute. Wow. Around the world, and of course it's all a complete scam. So the moment that you then click on the website to change your bank account or agree to move your funds, then they're getting in there and nicking your money. I mean, we're talking millions and millions being stolen. They don't even think, the police, that they've got completely to the bottom of it, because lots of people wouldn't have come forward. But just to give you one idea, in the UK alone there have been 70,000 victims. One customer lost £3 million, so 60 million rand, near enough. One slight problem, though, I don't know if all police forces are doing this, but certainly the Metropolitan Police in London are doing this, whereby they're going to contact every one of those 70,000 victims by text to say, have you been a victim of scamming? At which point, if you get a... you're probably thinking that is a scam. I'm not quite sure how that'll pan out.
I have a fun story. I'll keep it very short. I get contacted by my bank. And I use a Truecaller phone application that says, oh, a bank is calling me. It's not my bank, but the bank was checking if I was buying large quantities of alcohol, and I ignored it. In fact, it was a dinkum real request by my bank to ask if there is a problem there. But why is India's drugs disappearing? Who loses large piles of marijuana?
Yes, we're in the state of Uttar Pradesh, where police have seized a load of illegal drugs. We're talking cannabis, essentially, marijuana. 200 kilos stored in various police stations, which has now disappeared. The police have gone to court to explain the disappearance and say it's rats. Rats have eaten the marijuana. I know. You're thinking, well, it's possible. Rats will eat pretty much anything, but 200 kilos of the stuff in three different police stations? There are said to be at least another 700 kilos stored in various police stations in this one district, the Mathura district of Uttar Pradesh. I have to say that I think it's 4 years ago, eight Argentinian police officers were fired when they blamed mice for the disappearance of half a ton of cannabis. In this particular instance, of course, there's no evidence of wrongdoing. There again, there's no evidence that the rats ate it. So I think when the police are in court saying, yeah, it was rats, man, whatever, I think at that point,
where there's smoke, there's definitely a suspect. Adam Gilchrist, he joins us on Monday with The Worldview. Enjoy your weekend, sir.